Hello, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We are in the Book of Daniel. Today, we are finishing up with chapter 2, which we will refer back to, for it gives us the entire times of the Gentiles that Jesus referred to in chapter 21 of Luke. At the end of chapter 2, when Daniel has given Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the great image he saw, the terrible image with the golden head, he said, "That's you, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the kingdom of Babylon, but after that's coming another kingdom. Silver inferior to the gold, the Medo-Persians, we know it came. Then the belly and thighs of brass or copper, as it actually is, Alexander the Great and his kingdom. The iron legs of Rome. And then growing out from those iron legs, toes, part of iron, part of clay, part weak, part strong. And that's the end of the times of the Gentiles. For a stone cut out without hands, no man had anything to do with it. God does it. It strikes that image on its feet. In the time of the end of the kings, in the time of the European Union, everything comes down like the chaff of the summer threshing floor and is blown away, and they'll be found no more in the millennial age." The king was happy about to get the interpretation. He fell down before Daniel, and he said at the end of chapter 2, "Of a truth, your God is a God of gods." Now, he doesn't exactly say he's the only God, but he's a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal this secret. "Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon." Babylon was huge. "He made him chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon." This says in the Hebrew, Rosh Mag, Rav Mag, Mag, M-A-G. He made him be the head of all the M-A-G. Now, we're going to look at that term again in Daniel chapter 4. And the king is talking about Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, addresses him, "O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, I know that in you is the spirit of the holy gods." It's translated master of the magicians here. It is in the Hebrew, Rav Mag, R-A-V, Mag, M-A-G. In the other place, Rosh Mag. Mag, have you heard of that? M-A-G? Did you ever hear that? Who was it that came to Jesus and came to Bethlehem? Followed a star to the baby Jesus. It was the Magi, M-A-G-I, from the east. Daniel, now the Chaldeans were heavy into the study of astronomy, the stars. Daniel became the head over all the Magi. And somehow he must have pointed them to the prophecy which said a star would come and mark the king of the Jews. His influence in this high position that he had in Babylon affected even the Magi who came from the east, and we hear about them in the New Testament. He was given quite a position. Chapter 3, Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and breadth 6 cubits, 60 cubits and 6. Those are all the number of man. He made a huge golden image. Now, some think that he had been told that the image that he saw had a head of gold, but then there was another kingdom, and that was the arms of silver. But he made an image that didn't have anything but the gold in it. In other words, he's lifting up himself, and he's lifting up what he intends to be his kingdom that will last forever. And he tells them, if you don't fall down and worship it, then you're going to be cut to pieces. You're going to be killed. Now, image, fall down, worship, Babylon. Let's go to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we have an unholy trinity, a trinity that is mocking, counterfeiting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we see here the dragon, Satan himself. Of course, he is the head of that unholy trinity. And then we see the Antichrist. He is a mocking or a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And then we have the false prophet, who is a religious figure. And speaking about this false prophet, it says that he will come. We're looking now at Revelation 13, 14. He had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, the Antichrist, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he, the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here we see Satan behind it all. He was behind Nebuchadnezzar, trying to get rid of the three Hebrew children. Satan will be behind the false prophet making another image. And he will say that no man can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast, 666. We're told about that. Folks, here we see an image to fall down and worship here in Daniel. Here, a golden image, head to toe. We see an image that's going to come during the tribulation time. But I tell you, before my eyes, I've seen another image. I was called by John Rood to Brussels, Belgium, a few years ago. He said, Billy, all the things we've been trying to prove, all the things we've seen about how Brussels, as the parliamentary head of the European Union, we've seen that they will be the seat of the Antichrist. And we'll talk about that more when we get to later on in the chapter in the book. But right now, I have to tell you about the image we saw. They had a big tent, and in that tent, they had all kinds. He said, what we've been trying to prove, they're blatantly coming out and saying. And when you walked in, there you saw in the center of the tent a great golden image of Schumann, the man who thought up the European Union, the man whose idea it was. There it was again, another golden image to say, we're it. We're in your face about this thing. Other things said that. And if you get the eschatology school, you'll see the pictures, photographs that we took of that image and other photographs where they say blatantly that they're going to make the euro worldwide. They're going to change times and laws and other things, which you just have to get that to even believe it could be done. But here he makes the big golden image. He says that if you don't fall down and worship it, you are going to die. And so we have the three Hebrew children. And the three Hebrew children, called in this chapter Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not going to worship that golden image. Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 3, verse 13, is furious. They were brought before the king. He said, aren't you going to fall down when you hear this music? All kinds of music. Now, this was he brought this image to the plain of Dura in the land of Babylon. Most agree this is the place where the Tower of Babel stood. It was a huge image. And he said, now music is going to play. And when you hear that music, he said, and I'm reading to you out of a Hebrew translation here. A herald cried out aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. People had come from all across the broad empire. When you hear the sound of the horn, the whistle, the tambourine, the drum, and the cymbals, the flute, and all kinds of music, you shall fall and prostrate yourselves before the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall and prostrate himself will be thrown instantly into a flaming kiln. Now, Malbim, one of the Jewish sages, says, music is a usual part of coronation ceremonies. Therefore, this music was played to symbolize the acceptance of Nebuchadnezzar's perpetual kingdom. In other words, his image doesn't have any arms of silver. It doesn't have any Greece empire coming and throwing him over. It doesn't have any Roman empire. It's totally Babylonian. And he wanted the people come and fall down before it, and by their coming from all the countries over his wide, vast empire, then they would recognize that that empire was going to last forever. It would be a perpetual kingdom. If he could have gotten the Jewish men, and most people think Daniel was not in town at the time, those historians that we study after, They said there were the Chaldeans, of course, pointed out that the young Jews would not bow down. The Chaldeans were very, very jealous of these young Jewish men who, with Daniel, had been given high, high places in the government. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, "You're not going to bow down?" And this is how it is translated in a Hebrew translation. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not concerned to reply to you about this matter. Behold, there is our God whom we worship. He is able to save us from the flaming kiln, and from your hand, O king, he can rescue. But if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not worship your God, and before the golden image you set up, we shall not prostrate ourselves." Had they bowed down, it would have been like the Jews would have accepted the perpetual kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, was filled with fury at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the form of his face was contorted. He loudly commanded to heat the kiln 7 times more than it was normally heated. Bewildered, he threw them. They threw them into the flames of fire. The people who threw them in, because it was so hot, were destroyed by the flames of fire. But Nebuchadnezzar said, and oh, don't we love this, verse 24. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and said, "Did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Do you remember Oral Roberts' wonderful sermon, "The Fourth Man"? The fourth man in that flaming kiln was the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When they came out upon these bodies of these 3 men, the fire had had no power. Not a hair of their head was singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. King Nebuchadnezzar had to bow again in the presence of the Most High God, and he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. We've come to the last day this week. We're through chapter 3. We shall take up again on Monday studying this book. But I do hope you order from us our recent school of eschatology. I put so much into it. Oh my goodness, folks, it's coming to pass all around about us. There are so many pictures for you to see, especially those I took at the European Union. You will be amazed. Now, it's $250, 16 DVDs. 16 DVDs for $250. We are preparing a book to go along with it, just a little notebook. But you'll see those pictures. You can get it from us for $250. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write Box 40, Branson, Missouri. Shabbat Shalom.